Welcome to our first episode of Classroom to Calm. I'm your host, Kyle Pfaffenbach. I'm an associate professor at Eastern Oregon University in Health and Human Performance. I'm joined by our lab intern, Nathan Marshall. What's up, Nathan?
What's up, Kyle?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there.
Yeah.
We've been grinding on these podcasts and getting the teacher expirations up and running. And yeah, but it's fun to be here and it's fun to be talking about this stuff. So with the whole point of this show, Classroom to Calm, is it's an attempt to get teachers and staff ready for the weekend and focused on taking care of themselves and what they need to do to recharge for the upcoming week. In our Monday episodes for the show we call Fit to Teach, it's pretty structured. It's pretty straightforward. We're always going to be talking about peer-reviewed articles and providing action items and kind of being focused on what people can do to improve their health throughout the week. Classroom to Calm is our chance to kick off your process of relaxing and recharging. And so it's going to be a little less structured. We're going to cover a variety of topics. We're going to do things like healthy recipes that you can try over the weekend, for example. Nathan's excited about that one. Mm-hmm. Super excited.
Love to cook.
So that was his idea. We'll talk about some interesting studies and concepts once in a while. And we really want to focus on things that really people can do to recharge and reset, because the school year is long and you have to find time to take care of yourself. We don't always find that time during the week. And so we have to look for that time over the weekend. So yeah, that's the basic structure. Do you have anything to add?
Not on that. No.
No. Okay. So that's the basic structure of what Classroom to Calm is going to be. Hopefully it's just a way to start that process of recovery. So for this week, one of the things that we're talking about is we want to build on what we talked about earlier this week in regards to walking being really healthy for you, mm-hmm. and the individual response that people can have to walking. That was episode one of Fit to Teach. So yes. If you haven't listened to that, cruise back, go and listen to it. And we really talk about how different levels of activity impact different people very differently. And it seems inherent, but a lot of people don't realize just how unique an individual response is to the same amount of exercise between a group of people. So if Nathan and I started the same exercise program today and we did everything the same, we ate everything the same, we got the same amount of sleep, the two of us would respond very differently. Mm-hmm. The main reason being that he's like a 22, are you 21 or 22?
21.
He's a 21-year-old college athlete and I am an old, middle-aged, aging person.
Don't say that.
Person.
You don't know.
Which is true.
Could be a high responder. I might not.
That's true. So you
never know.
We'd have to test it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably will never know. I'm not going to try and keep up with your workout program.
I can keep up with yours.
Probably. Yeah. But then you detrain.
That's true.
Potentially. Okay. So the point is that you start an exercise program with your friend. They're a high responder. You're not. You think you've done something wrong. It's not the case. You just need to change your program. So that brings us to this interesting article that I came across and I wanted to share with you. And so this is a paper from 2019 from a group out of Wisconsin at the Wappan Memorial Hospital, as well as University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. So this is a group that had NIH funding to look at, they published this paper in the Journal of Women's Health. It's called The Effectiveness of Long and Short Bout Walking on Increasing Physical Activity in Women. Mm-hmm. And the point is that what they wanted to do is ask a question. Okay, the general recommendation is that you're supposed to exercise 150 minutes per week. And most people think about that. You can think about that in one of three ways. One is 5 30-minute bouts of exercise throughout the week. That's one way to break it down. The second way is that they say the American College of Sports Medicine suggests that bouts need to be at least 10 minutes long, mm-hmm. and you need three of them a day. So if you can find three 10-minute slots 5 days a week to get a little bit of work in, they're saying that's going to make a huge difference. The other thing we talked about is you may be a high responder, so less than that may give you a big boost. So it just depends, but it's a good starting place to think about. The thing that this question is asking is, what if you're like so busy? Can we just get it all in one shot? Can I just go for a 150-minute walk one time a week? And what is the effect of that? And that's what they asked. The findings were, I thought, pretty surprising. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I was surprised too. I think it's based off of guidelines and probably, I don't think they necessarily display it that well. But that kind of 5 by 30 minute thing, I think you don't necessarily have to swear by that 5 by 30 minute intervals. And that's what my biggest takeaway from.
Let's talk about the results real quick. What did they show? We teased it a little bit.
Yeah, we did tease a little bit.
But we didn't come through. So basically what they found was that they had similar effects. Mm-hmm. It was super interesting. Mm-hmm. There was an equal reduction in waist circumference. Mm-hmm. Now, the program was only 8 weeks and these are averages, so we have to take that with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But statistically speaking, there was a significant reduction in hip circumference. There was a significant reduction in blood pressure. There was a significant increase in individuals' ability to walk a longer distance during a 6-minute interval. There was also a significant increase in steps taken average per day over the week compared to the control group, which is just sedentary, didn't do anything. And I thought this was super cool because it basically gives people options. It's not like cheating or a hack or however you want to describe it mentally that, okay, if I do end up getting super busy during the week and I miss a couple of days, it does look like you benefit significantly from reaching that total amount of time by just doing one big walk, say on the weekend. So,
and we've talked a lot of like kind of some action items about trying to go on these walks, but a big takeaway too, I think, is if you do it once a week, you're still meeting that goal and you're still accomplishing those action items that we talked about. Like you can get it all done in one and not have to be like, oh, I only walked one time a week. Your walk was the equivalent of
5 other walks,
right? So you don't have to have that kind of feeling of, oh, like I only want to walk. You don't, there's no need to feel that way.
Yep. Now we should say there's a couple things to keep in mind here. Remember from the paper that we talked about in Fit to Teach, or the study that we talked about in Fit to Teach, you have a better chance of having a greater response the more that you walk. So one of the things to think about is to identify like Saturday or Sunday as a long day and then also try and get in a couple shorter walks during the week and add to it. So if you remember, it was the equivalent of about 225 minutes in the paper that we talked about on Monday. It was the equivalent of about 225 minutes that really a very small percentage of that group didn't respond. And so if you want to guarantee that you're going to get a response, we need to start shooting for that 200 to 25 mark, not the 150 mark. So if you can get 120 minutes or 150 minutes in one shot on the weekend with a long walk, a long hike, something like this, then during the week, now maybe you have to do 3 20-minute walks. That's another hour. And 150 minute walk on the weekends and 3 20-minute walks during the week. Now you're at 210 and it's starting to look like pretty good in terms of exceeding the recommended expectations, getting into the zone that it minimizes your chances of not responding, maximizes your chances of responding. And most people can probably find that. And it's not so daunting that it's, okay, I can do this. I can get out for 15, 20 minutes a couple times during the week. I can get my long walk on the weekend. And you're checking the box at that point. It's not, that's a real thing.
Yeah. I think also too, it's important to note, and we can bridge into this, but in the future episodes, we talk about the mental benefits of exercise. And the point of this part of our show is to really help you relax and get ready for the weekend and enjoy it. These walks on the weekend, this longer walk or shorter walk, however you want to do it, will really help you stay grounded and be ready for the weekend.
Such a good point. Those walks, you want them, the weekend walk especially, you really want it to be something that you're looking forward to. This weekend, I'm going to take a couple hours. I blocked it out. I'm going to go up to Mira. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to call someone I haven't talked to in a while and talk to them while I'm out walking around town. I'm going to walk down to the farmer's market and walk home. There's a bunch of different ways. And one of the things that was interesting about the study is that people that were in the long walk group, so the once a week long walk group, ended up logging on average more steps per day throughout the week than the people that were doing the 3 10-minute walks throughout the day. So that was interesting. It just ties into what we're trying to get to overall. We're trying to create sustainable habits. We're trying to understand and look at these things through a new lens, because exercise a lot of times is reported as this kind of extreme thing that you have to do. And for some of you, you might be doing runs every day and then you have a long run on the weekends and that's what's working for you. But in this sense, if we're trying to get going, we're trying to instill good habits, we're trying to reduce stress and gain the mental benefits of regular physical activity, we're trying to gain the health benefits, we're trying to get the energy that it gives us, the regulation of hormones, all these beneficial effects, this seems to put you in the game in terms of that. And there's a couple different ways that you can go about getting it depending on what your schedule is.
It gives you a way to think of your exercise in terms of a lot of people think of it a day by day basis and what they want to accomplish each day. And that can be hard because, you know, it's so fluid. You never know what's going to happen during the day. You might just not be able to have time to do it. If you think of it like from this perspective and to go week by week, you have so much more room to accommodate and make things happen.
100%. This actually happened to me yesterday, just anecdotally. Tuesdays, I usually try and exercise pretty hard on Tuesdays. Parent teacher conferences for my two sons in the morning. Shout out to their teachers. And so we did those, and then I had meetings, and then I forgot about a meeting that thankfully I was on campus and could be there for. And then you and I were here until I think 5 or 5:30 working on stuff in the lab. And by the time I got home, I kept saying, oh, I'll do something when I get home. I'll do something when I get home. And I was exhausted. So it was like, at that point, could you push through? Maybe, but it might be more detrimental at that point. And it was interesting that we had just read this article. And so that fluidity part of what you were talking about, I think really matters.
Yeah.
We're not in basic training. We're not in boot camp.
Nope.
We're not in, like, you have a dynamic, busy life, but this will help you be able to handle the ups and downs of that busy life better if you make time for yourself.
Yep.
And you get out and get some physical activity. So that's our show.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be doing here. We'll be talking about different things to get you ready for the weekend. And yeah, we hope you enjoy it. So we'll be back next week. Make sure to tune in on Monday for another episode of Fit to Teach. Tune in on Wednesday. Every other Wednesday, there'll be Scott Carpenter is doing interviews with teachers and staff with LGSD. And that show is called Turning Point. So we're really excited about to be hosting that show on the podcast network. And so Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, this is your place for school-related content, health and wellness content. And yeah, we're really excited to bring it to you. Have a great weekend.